Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. How do you build healthy relationships with friends, family, and partners after surviving sexual or domestic violence? How does past abuse affect your ability to trust, love, and build new relationships? These are some of the questions to be tackled Tuesday at an event sponsored by Gather Together, a collective of survivors of sexual and domestic violence. Gather Together is an offshoot of the creative activist group FORCE, Upsetting Rape Culture, which works to combat the stigma of sexual abuse and assault. With me to talk about this workshop is Saida Agostini, a licensed general social worker and the chief operating officer of FORCE, Upsetting Rape Culture. She's also a member of Gather Together. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you so much for having me here.
The title of the event Tuesday is Building Our Tribe, Love as an Act of Resistance. What does that mean?
So my background is actually as a poet. And about 2 years ago, I went to a poetry retreat and I got to hear the incredible poet Nikki Finney talk. And one of the very first things that she said to us is that we need to find our tribe. We need to find the people, the community that was really going to lift us up and support us. And that never really left me, because I started thinking about all of the things that I've survived in my life as a survivor of domestic violence and survivor of abuse. And I realized that those people really were my tribe. That was not only just how I survived, but really how I became an advocate and a strong woman in my own right. And I wanted to really have a venue and an opportunity for folks to just talk about that, about how is it we celebrate the tribes of people in our own lives who really build us up and celebrate us.
Interesting. I think many people, when they hear tribe, would think it's something about your ethnicity or your race or your gender, not about something bad that you survived.
Yeah, I think oftentimes what happens is that we tend to not celebrate what it is that helped us get through our experiences, right? And we need to. I know for me, one of the things that happened is that the very moment where I nearly lost my life, the thing that helped me the most.
This was a situation of domestic abuse?
Yes. The moment that was most transformational for me, I remember being out on the street. I had nearly lost my life, and I had called a woman that I didn't know very well. And I said to her, I don't have a place to stay. She didn't know me. She didn't know me very well. We had only known each other for 6 months. I was in Boston. My family was in Maryland. And she said to me, do you need a place to stay? That was now 12 years ago. She's my mentor. I literally talk to her every single day. I thank God for her. She's a part of my tribe. And so I think we need to talk about those transformative relationships, those actions that really help us build relationships with people and help us feel connected. And I think oftentimes those moments that challenge us and harm us also are moments that help us really celebrate the love that people have for us.
How does abuse affect a person's ability to maintain healthy relationships?
So the way that trauma works is that it gives us a number of coping mechanisms. So we have moments in which we learn how it is to protect ourselves. And so this is an opportunity for us to start thinking about what is it we can do to learn the ways in which these coping mechanisms actually help to build us up and reach out to people, and what are the ways in which these coping mechanisms actually can become barriers. And so this workshop actually is an exploration for us to start thinking about, okay, as survivors, what are the ways in which we can build with other people? What are the friendships that we have that we want to build further? And what are the ways in which we want to enrich our relationships?
Well, what message do you think society tends to send about what to do when somebody is struggling or dealing with trauma?
Oftentimes, the first action is to judge. We tell survivors that you're broken, that you're alone, this is your fault. We question them, and we tend to treat folks as if they're made of glass, or we ignore you as if you're the issue. But the reality is that this being a survivor is not my fault or the fault of the survivor. You know, I should not be the reason why the other person is uncomfortable. What we need to do is learn how to engage in the practice of truth telling. So someone stating that they're a survivor is uncomfortable, but learn ways to be okay with the reality that we live in a culture where people are survivors, and learn ways to resist it. And then also identify strategies to be tender and compassionate to folks who are surviving.
If a person doesn't have a social circle to lean on, if they're isolated, how does that affect their health?
So one of the biggest things we know is that loneliness is a public health issue. If you're lonely, you turn in on yourself. And one of the things that I want to be really clear about is that oftentimes we tend to conflate loneliness with being an introvert, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a big difference between someone who is choosing to stay at home and someone who is literally alone because they feel as if they have no choice. And so if you are someone who is desperate to have relationship, desperate to be in community with others, but know that if you go out, you're going to be judged or you're going to be questioned, then it's going to have a tremendous impact on your sense of self and who you are. Everybody needs to be reflected back in other people and the folks that they see. And that is what I want for myself, and that is what I want for other survivors.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Saida Agostini, a social worker and chief operating officer of the group FORCE, Upsetting Rape Culture. On Tuesday, Agostini will be leading a workshop for survivors of sexual and domestic violence about healing and building healthy relationships. Is it common for people to see a connection between abuse in their past and difficulty they might be having in making friendships or relationships?
I think it's actually way too common, because people tell us that the reasons why relationships don't work is because of our abuse. That, oh, well, the reason why your relationships are not working out is because you're a survivor. And so imagine how incredibly deflating that is, that because you're a survivor, that's the reason why your partner dumped you, or because you're a survivor, that's the reason why you didn't trust somebody, as opposed to, oh, well, because of who you are, or because of your intuition, or because of your common sense, maybe this is the reason why the relationship didn't work out, or just because, you know, it's just life. That's how things happen. And so I think oftentimes what we have to do is take the burden off of every individual's life experience.
I'm not sure I understand that.
Sure. So what I mean by that is that as a survivor, we carry this burden that everything will be our fault because we've survived this experience. So for a very long time, I carried this fear that because I'm a survivor of domestic violence, I could not have another relationship. That I was broken. I was being told by society that I was broken, and that I kind of had like a big red letter D on my forehead. And it was devastating. You know, I'm 35. I want to get married. I want to have kids. And to be told that that could never happen for me because I'm a survivor, is devastating. And I think what we need to do is we need to come to a place where we're not telling people that because of their life experiences that they had no control over, that they don't have a right to love.
Well, let me pick up this aspect, because I suspect some people are listening to this conversation and thinking, yeah, that's exactly why she shouldn't claim as her tribe other survivors. She should move past the abuse. She should move on. She should leave that behind her. And you say to that what?
I say to that, you know, I think that's kind of the all lives matters versus Black Lives Matters argument.
I don't see the parallel.
Sure.
Explain it to me.
Sure. So because I'm a survivor, when I talk to other survivors, while I have not walked in their shoes, right, I have not experienced all other sorts of abuse, I have a definite kinship to other survivors because we've shared a certain kind of experience, right? And so we can talk on a certain level and understand on a heart level the experiences. And it's the same thing, I think, you know, and I can speak to this as a Black woman. When I talk to other Black folks, you know, it's that same gut level experience. Oftentimes when you try to explain to someone who has not been through the experience of surviving domestic violence or sexual abuse, what it is like to have people try to tell you about yourself, they're oftentimes is a strong sense of confusion. It almost feels like you're trying to speak French to someone who speaks English. And it is a beautiful thing to come into a community where everyone is speaking the same language on one level.
So this event Tuesday, the first in a monthly series, who do you envision participating in these workshops?
Survivors, secondary survivors, folks.
What is a secondary survivor?
So secondary survivors are folks who maybe have witnessed abuse, but maybe don't identify as survivors themselves. Also allies, people who strongly support survivors, and also anybody who feels deeply connected to these issues and would like to learn more about how to support the survivors in their lives.
And is this going to be more of a seminar or a discussion? What's the format like?
It's going to be a workshop. We're going to do a couple of different activities. We're going to do something I'm going to call love mapping that I'm really excited about.
What is love mapping?
We are going to be kind of making maps of the people in our lives who have loved us and how their support has helped us get to where we are now.
What advice would you give someone who's a survivor of assault or abuse and feels it's having an impact on her relationships?
I think I would take some time to think about what that impact is and kind of try to narrow it down, right? Like, do you feel that your friends are treating you differently as a result? Do you feel that, you know, your friends are maybe engaging in language that's shaming of you, or, you know, trying to steer you away from relationships? And then just speak openly and honestly with them if you feel like you can. Right. I mean, I think the best thing to do always, if you're in a space that you're able to, is truth telling.
What do you think friends, family, partners should know?
I think the biggest message, if anything, that I can share is just that survivors are not broken and that our experiences do not define us.
Why did you decide to lead this workshop?
Mainly because I'm obsessed with love. And also, you know, I do this in honor of the many, many people who have loved me and have been there for me throughout my life and let me know that despite everything that I've survived, that I'm worthy and that I deserve everything that I have.
This is the first in a monthly Skillshare series. What are some of the other skills Gathered Together is planning to cover?
Oh, sure. There's going to be some really awesome ones. There's going to be one about gardening. That's going to be really exciting. I don't really put my hands in dirt, but I think I will for this one. And then there's also going to be one about meditation as well. And other survivors who are interested in taking part can go to our website, upsettingrapeculture.com.
We're going to put a link to it on our website. I really appreciate your talking to us about it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Saida Agostini is a social worker and chief operating officer of the organization FORCE, Upsetting Rape Culture. She's also a member of Gather Together, a collective of survivors of sexual and domestic violence formed by FORCE. Saida will lead the workshop Building Our Tribe, Love as an Act of Resistance, on Tuesday at the Motor House in Baltimore. Details at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. Quick break now, and then stay tuned for a Stoop Story.